Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
While Las Vegas and the state of Nevada having their state caucus yesterday, the highly efficient caucus system that worked so well in Iowa, and in the state of Nevada, I guess a little bit better, but still, after all these hours later, only 60% of the returns are in that are showing Bernie Sanders as the winner of the Nevada caucuses yesterday. Joe Biden after that, and Pete Buttigieg in third. Still, people are saying a fairly accurate representation of what they think is going to happen there. Wanted to get some analysis of what happened there and what is to come in South Carolina, and also Super Tuesday that's right around the corner. Paul Lisnick is the political analyst for WGN-TV. You see him frequently on our WGN-TV morning news. You see him on Sunday morning with his political report that he co-hosts with Tamon Bradley. And we'll see him tonight in a special debate on the Democratic candidates for Cook County State's attorney. Hey, you're getting as busy as I am there, Paul.
I don't know if that's possible, but I almost missed my show. I'm so busy listening to you. I went, oh, wait, I better go do my show.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to break away for a few minutes, because I'm sure this is a very, with the debate tonight, I'm sure it's a very, very busy day. So we'll talk about that in a second.
Sure.
But regarding the Nevada caucuses yesterday, were you surprised at how well Bernie Sanders did?
Well, no, because the polls have been showing Sanders significantly in the lead for quite a while. So if there was a surprise, and of course we only, it's only, what, 24 hours later, and they only have 50% of the vote in, right? But he is doing well at about 41%. I think what's interesting, Dean, there's a couple of things. Sanders supporters, very excited about it, very, you know, this is the momentum they're looking for, and there's clearly Bernie Sanders is the front runner of the party right now. But on the other hand, for those people who support other candidates or are concerned about Sanders getting the nomination, you know, you've got to remember there's over 50 states and territories yet to vote. I think this is the push of the 24-hour media that basically with every contest they have, it's, you know, let's draw all these big conclusions. I think you got to wait. And I think I want to wait one more. I want to wait for South Carolina, because if Joe Biden wins that, as he is, promising to do, that may change the tone of this campaign a little bit.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, the analysts last night on television were, you know, practically saying that it was a done deal, and, you know, Sanders is certainly going to be the candidate. Maybe he will. I was looking at some information this morning that showed past winners of the Nevada caucuses, and on the Democratic side anyway, only Barack Obama went on to be a winner. Past winners of the Nevada caucuses were Al Gore, John Kerry, and Hillary Clinton.
And how'd that work out for him?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, how much weight do we put into Nevada and what they say?
Yeah, well, you can only put a little bit into it. I think the reason that it's gotten some attention is because it has a, like a quarter of the vote is Latino. There are certain things you want to pay attention to. For example, Latinos who were polled had a tremendous level of support for Sanders, which surprised a lot of people. And then also Nevada voters were asked, first of all, what's the most important issue to you? And beating Trump always seems to beat the, or think of the life the way I do, by 2-1, or 2/3 to 1/3. And yet, when they were, this time around for the Nevada voters, when they were asked, and who's most likely to do it, they also supported Sanders. So, you know, whether this is a trend that's beginning to happen, you know, Sanders is leading in Illinois, too, right now in our polls. So whether this is a trend that's beginning to catch on, and before we ever get to Illinois, we've got to get through Super Tuesday and South Carolina, or whether this is sort of an outlier, and by next week, you and I will have a conversation that will be very different in tone, remains to be seen.
I'm really curious to know why you think Latino voters are going for Sanders in a way that they did not think was going to happen, why younger voters are going for Sanders in a way that they didn't think was going to happen. Let me take a quick break first. When we come back, we'll talk more. Paul Lisnick from WGN-TV will have more analysis of the Nevada caucuses tomorrow morning as well. Paul Liznick, WGN political commentator, is on the line with us right now. Paul, as we say, it's 24 hours after the fact, and roughly about 55-60% of the returns are in. Is this caucus system just broken? Does it need to be replaced?
Oh, without question. I mean, we only have, I think it's 7 states that even do these caucuses anymore. And I think most analysts are looking and predicting and saying, this is it. They've had it, the debacle that there was in Iowa and Nevada, even though, you know, we don't see those kinds of mishaps, the fact that they can't gather the information. I think this is just a days of old thing. It puts a lot of pressure on people to make their votes more public. I don't see much of a modern reason to have it anymore. So it would not surprise me if by next year you either see it gone, or you certainly see a great diminishment in the number used. But if I can, Dean, you asked me just before the break why it is I thought Latinos may have supported Sanders as they did.
Yeah, I'm interested in Latinos and also young people. And I saw some exit polling that showed that, interestingly, older white voters were not supporting Sanders, people you think would be, a cinch to vote for a 78-year-old white guy.
Well, as far as the older voters go, you're seeing a lot of them. Listen, Buttigieg, I mean, that's upside down, too. Buttigieg, who's the young candidate in this at age 37, he's appealing to older voters, but not so much to younger voters. So obviously people are looking beyond those kinds of demographic factors like age and looking at policy. I think the reason that Sanders is becoming or is so popular among young and Latinos right now is, look, what he's offering is to say we're going to level the playing field. One of the lines he said last night in one of his acceptance speeches as he was traveling was to say, hey, if Trump can give the top 1%, the multi-billion dollar tax advantage, then we can erase all education debt for Americans. So the promises he's making, which is to eliminate all education debt, student loans, think about that, the possibility of a free education for everybody, it is never going to happen in today's culture and with today's Congress, but it is what he's promising, it is what he's talking about, and it really is inviting for a lot of certainly younger people who find themselves mired in debt and wanting a good education.
Is his own self-imposed label as a democratic socialist hurting him with older voters in particular, who hear the word socialist, and they flash on, the old Soviet Union and, those kind of days?
You're right that with older folks, they think of socialism and their mind starts to go to these other countries, whatever. And the unfortunate part is Sanders seems to be having to expend way too much time and energy to explain why it's not a bad thing and why he actually represents, what people want and stuff. He's sort of just adding an extra burden on. Now, it's one that he, I think, is addressing as he goes through this primary process. And certainly the only one in the last debate, it was really Bloomberg who really kind of went with the attack and sort of refer to him as a communist. But if Sanders is the nominee, you cannot sit back for 1 minute and think that the word socialism or communism is not going to be coming out of Republicans and Donald Trump's mouth at every possible turn. So if there's any doubt that Bernie is not sort of the straight-up Democrat right now and that he's something else, I actually think in a general election, the phrase democratic socialist will get replaced in Republican rhetoric with, look out, he's a communist, he's a socialist, and whatever. Right. I'm not taking positions on that for your listeners who have a certain thought. I'm simply saying expect that to happen.
No, I'm sure that both sides, both the Democrats and Republicans right now, are looking at what they perceive as as Achilles' heels of their potential opponents in a general election. It's certainly bound to happen.
But the Republicans have a way of avoiding that Achilles heel of the president, which might be his rhetoric and a lot of his other policies, because as long as the economy stays strong, and it currently is, as you know, Dean, there are many voters who are willing to overlook almost everything else to just go, hey, my 401k is doing well, I'm paying attention to nothing else. And that's unfortunate. People, I think, hopefully, as this election process continues, will pay attention to international issues and to what's going on in the world and other kinds of domestic crises and immigration and all sorts of things that really should be on people's minds.
So what will be happening now to the Amy Klobuchars and the Tom Steyers? And even Elizabeth Warren, she came in fourth place yesterday, although she said, I feel the momentum in her speech yesterday. She came in fourth place and said, she was talking like she was a big winner, and Tulsi Gabbard and, some of the others that are whose names are still on the ballot. And a lot of the experts on the news networks last night were saying, as long as there are this many people in the race it's going to continue to guarantee a win for Bernie Sanders?
Well, there's no question about it. That may be one of the most important questions you're asking of the primary season right now, because Bernie Sanders remains sort of unchallenged at the progressive end of things. Even Elizabeth Warren, who was supposed to be the big challenger, seems to be backing away from him. She's not going after Sanders voters anymore. She's going after and competing for moderate voters, basically saying, hey, look, I'm not exactly Bernie if you're afraid of him. I'm to the right of Bernie, but I'm certainly to the left of everybody else. And since Democrats seem to be indicating in polls that they're looking to blow up things in their own way, the way Trump did it for Republicans, the biggest problem Democrats have right now is that if they do not consolidate the rest of the moderates, and you rattled them off, I don't know if you said Pete, but let's put Pete in there. If you consolidated the rest of the moderates, add them all together, and then you do overtake Bernie. The problem is that every one of those moderates thinks that they're the ones that should be the last person standing.
Right.
What's going to dictate the answer to that is money. So the bottom line is, if Joe Biden doesn't win South Carolina, watch his money dry up. As it is, Klobuchar, Buttigieg, they're already having financial problems in terms of their reports. You cannot run a campaign without money. That will be the end of the campaign when the money washes out for everybody.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of that, Michael Bloomberg, who's not even in this until Super Tuesday, is spending unprecedented amounts of money. Is it going to pay off for him, do you think?
Well, he's yet to have anybody be able to vote for him, and yet in some polls, he's number two. So the answer is yes. And, of course, the fellow Democrats are going after him, saying, you know, he's trying to buy this election. Yeah, I suppose in many ways he is. But you know what? He's not asking anybody for a dime. That's appealing to people. He's controlling his message. You would think with his Barack Obama ads that he's got out there that the former president has endorsed him. It's Joe Biden who has to go on the air just going, he hasn't endorsed him. I just don't have the money to run those ads. It really just makes for a muddled sort of playing field right now. But, Bloomberg is doing well in our own state of Illinois as well. I think he's number two. So you cannot count him out. And Bloomberg would look at you and say, hey, I haven't even been on the ballot yet. You wait till Super Tuesday, then let's talk.
So we've seen the presidential debates. Do you think we're going to see anything as fiery in the debates for the Cook County State's Attorney that will be on WGN-TV tonight at 6?
Well, I can tell you, you've got a lot of candidates, three other Democrats, and tonight's debate, by the way, are the Democratic candidates. Next Sunday night, we'll have the Republican candidates, so equal time. But yeah, you've got three people that want Kim Fox's job. Kim Fox stands there not only with, you know, money behind her, but every endorsement, including Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Preckwinkle and Lightfoot and, you know, anybody else you want to think of. They're all lining behind Fox, so she's going to be a tough one to take down. But you know what? You're Bill Conway. You got tons of money from your dad and from your dad's company. You're Bob Fioretti. You've been an alderman. You're Donna Moore. You've been doing that kind of work. So the bottom line is everybody wants it, and I can tell you the dynamics between them, while polite, get a bit fiery.
So we'll see that tonight at 6 o'clock on WGN. And then
commercial free, by the way.
Commercial free. How about that? Who's going to pay our exorbitant salaries if they're not running commercial?
Well, I tried to work things in from time to time to say something like, you know, I bet Dean Richards is on it in the morning on Sunday.
Very nice. Yeah. Ask their positions on, entertainment and, you know, movies.
Exactly.
Things like that. That's what people want to hear in a debate.
Interview. It's coming up. Sure. We plug that.
That's what people want to hear in a debate. So Democrats tonight at 6, next Sunday night at 6, the Republican candidates for Cook County State's Attorney, Tamon Bradley and Paul Lisnick, moderating both of the debates. Paul, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
I'll see you tomorrow morning at 7:30 on set.
Thank you, my friend.